Welcome everyone to Cinema Cemetery, where bad films go to die. I am your host, DJ Spectre, coming to you undead only on Penguin Radio. Tonight's movie is a cult classic which has regained something of a resurgence lately, having a scare zone at Halloween Horror Nights. It may have been the start of the killer clown phenomenon, and it was written, directed, and produced and designed by a trio of brothers. But before we get into any of that, allow me to introduce tonight's guest, who I am summoning from the void. Denali, how are you doing?
I am doing absolutely stellar, broski.
So, tonight we watched Killer Clowns from Outer Space. So, first let me kind of talk about how I choose these movies. I'm picking them from a book called 150 Movies You Should Die Before You See by Steve Miller. And so far I've been going by which movies first, second, third, kind of chronologically. But surprise, surprise, watching bad movies is hard. So, and I figured, and I knew like I wanted to do something a little bit different, and we met and bonded over our shared love of Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and it's in here, so I was just like, you know what, heck it, I'm gonna do Killer Clowns from Outer Space, because, and also it was nice to not have to pay for a movie, because, I mean, I'd already bought the movie, so I guess I did pay for it at one point, but it was a movie I wanted to pay for, not that I had to pay for.
Yeah. Honestly, so they have it on Netflix now, too, so I, like, hit it up there.
Man!
Yeah, you paid for it forever ago for no reason now. Got free on Netflix.
Well, I do like DVDs just because I like looking at, like, the menu select and everything. I am a big nerd for menus, and I do have to complain about this menu a little bit just because it's fun, but it's not the best. It's got some fun little Easter eggs, like there are these popcorn kernels that you click on in special features, and it shows you some clown auditions, and it shows you I forget which clip it is. I think it's the clip of Officer Mooney being like, killer clowns from outer space. Holy bleep. but other than that, I wasn't... It's better than some other DVD menus I've seen. It's on the higher side, but it's not my favorite.
I've been pirating movies for so long, I forgot what a menu even looks like.
Oh. Yeah. A good menu really enhances your experience. I'm passionate about DVD menus. So, what's your experience with Killer Clowns from Outer Space? Because I know you liked it already.
I did.
How did you come across it?
Honestly, I came across it because I was exclusively... I had actually watched the movie Earth Girls Are Easy, like, right before I had seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space, because I was just, like, kind of going from looking through and finding, like, that niche of, like, 80s movie with specifically about, like, aliens coming down from outer space, and it's still, like, a comedy. And I was kind of going weirdly into that niche, and Killer Clowns from Outer Space and Earth Girls Are Easy are nowhere near the same genre, and I have no idea why my brain grouped them together. And I'm just like, well, I will watch them both in a row. And it was a weird watching experience.
I'm trying to think of what would be good to go with Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I thought of a good little loop-in. Maybe The Blob, because it does take a lot of plot elements from The Blob. And it's very similar in a lot of ways, except it's about clowns now.
Yeah. One movie that I think, like, pairs really well with it is Freaked. Have you ever heard of that one?
I believe I've heard of... Oh! That has Alex Winter in it?
It absolutely has Alex Winter in it.
And Keanu Reeves in a uncredited role.
Yes, Keanu Reeves played a furry dog man in that one.
Yes. I'm trying to remember his name. It was something Spanish.
It was something Spanish. I can never fucking... Or, shoot. I can never remember the name of Keanu Reeves's character, and that it like gets me every single time, and I'm like, what was it? It doesn't matter. Keanu Reeves was a furry in that movie. Does it really matter what his name was?
Yes. Yeah, that's all you need to know about.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, that's all you need to know to get you to watch it.
It's definitely on like the same par of like gross out practical effects that I absolutely adore in Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yes, the effects are phenomenal. And we'll get into that a little bit in our second section. Because I wanted to talk about the plot here, but then I realized that the plot is extremely thin. It's it's like, it's just a very thin broth. It ain't no chowder.
Yeah, nah. Killer Clowns from Outer Space is what it lacks in plot, it makes up for in being fun to watch.
Yeah. That's really it. Because, yeah, the really main focus of it is the clowns. It's them destroying the town. So I guess just a one-sentence summary is just killer clowns from outer space come, and they wreck a town, and some people go and they kill the clowns and send them off, and that's about it.
Boom. Full stop, period. Done. Next question.
Yeah. I mean, the characters are pretty fun. Who are some of your favorite characters?
I really liked the Terezi brothers. They were honestly just, like, really funny to me. I love a good old-fashioned just, like, goofball team-up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those types of characters in movies always end up being my favorites just because I'm like, they're funny. What else do you need?
Yeah, they don't need to be deep. They don't need to be complex.
Yeah, who needs serious, complex characters when you can have a good laugh, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because for me, when I thought about, because the first time I watched it, I, of course, loved the effects, and of course I loved the theme song, which is the best theme song. We'll also talk about that a little bit later.
It's in, like, multiple of my playlists.
It's so good. It deserves its own playlist, just of different versions of it. Have you heard it? Nightcore version?
Oh my god, I have not, and I have to look that up immediately after we're done. That is so powerful.
It's so good. It works so well. But, anyway, yeah, I think, because I was going to say my favorite character, but then I realized it might spoil a little something that we're gonna do later. I have a little fun trivia game for you.
Oh, so, fun. I'm terrible at trivia, but let's go.
Yes. So I don't want to spoil anything for you, so I might talk about my absolute favorite character later, but I think my favorite character, my second favorite character might be what's his name, Tiny? One of the clowns is named, I think, Tiny or Small, something like that. He's the small clown, and he's darling.
Oh, he was the one who had the little tricycle, right?
Yes.
Oh, I love that. I always, like, forget the names of the clowns.
That is a part of the trivia later. Just a little spoiler.
I know a few of them. I'll do my best.
Get ready for that. And when we return, we'll be talking about the elements that really make this movie work when we come back on Penguin Radio. And welcome back to Cinema Cemetery. So before, we talked about how the plot was very thin, but really that's best for this kind of movie because the characters and what happens is really the best. It's what makes this movie. So, let's start out with what you think the worst element of the movie was.
Worst element of the movie? That honestly probably has to go with the dog Pooh Bear dying at the beginning. Worst element of the movie. The dog died. His name was Pooh Bear, and I'm like, oh.
R.I.P. Pooh Bear. Did you notice there's a very small cocoon in the cocoon room?
I did. I'm like, wait a minute, is that the dog?
That's Pooh Bear.
Pooh Bear. There he is. He's just vibing.
Yeah.
I like to think he's the only one alive in those little cotton candy cocoons.
Yeah. Oh, I guess we should also explain. So the killer clowns are killing people and putting them in cotton candy cocoons, and that jellifies them, and then the clowns eat that. So that's why the clowns are here. The end.
They have clown munchies. It's fine.
Yeah.
They're just getting some fast food.
I have to say that the film does have a bad case of the 80s. There is a line where Mike does a bad Native American impression, and I'm sort of like, oh yeah, this is the 80s, all right. And
oh,
then
yeah. Hated that.
The lady clowns at the end that get together with the Terenzi brothers, I hated those.
One of them had inflatable balloon boobs, and that was, I got a laugh, but it was mostly just because of the absurdity of it.
I just, the fact that they decided, you know, these two goofballs, they're gonna meet some lady clowns and some things are gonna happen. Some adult things are gonna be implied to have happened. The fact that these men are implied to have had.
We here at Cinema Cemetery prefer to keep our content family-friendly, and this conversation got a little bit PG-13, so pardon us while we try to clean this up a bit.
And they fell into a ball pit. They, like, took a dive and found themselves in a ball pit, and then they're like, oh, well, guess it's lady clown time.
Hey. Absolute worst performance in your professional opinion.
In my professional watching a lot of bad movies opinion. Honestly, with a movie like this, I feel like they were all kind of on the same level. I didn't like the Kurt guy, but I think that's just because I just don't like him.
Is that the guy who was like, what are you gonna do, knock my block off?
No, that was Kurt Marooney, the cop. I just didn't like him. Oh. I just didn't like him. So I was tempted to say that he was my worst performance, but I'm like, you know what? All their acting was generally on the same level, which is kind of what you want in a movie like this, where it's just like, it's cheesy, it's over the top, all of the acting is kind of hammy, and that's kind of the point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want it to be like this. Like, that's, you don't watch it for A-plus acting. You don't watch a movie like Killer Clowns from Outer Space and expect realism.
Yeah, I will say, though, I think Dave and Mike were pretty on point.
They were pretty on point. That was very, like, I was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, they were good.
There they go.
Yeah, I think probably my nominee for worst performance were the girls that the Terenzi brothers had in their ice cream trucks at the very beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the one girl looks directly into the camera, which is just...
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you take us for?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Because, like, there's a level that you want to be. I don't think you want to be at that level.
Yeah, that was a little too much. That was a little home video. But, like, everything else, they were kind of vibing.
Yeah, I have an unfortunate little tidbit that also puts this movie very heavily in the 80s. In the commentary track, the Giotto brothers refer to those girls as the Pork Chop Twins, and that just made me a little sad.
Oh, nasty.
Yeah. What, in your opinion, was the most outrageous scene?
Most outrageous either definitely has to be the scene where the guy is completely run off the road, like, by a clown with no car. Mm-hmm. Like, run off the road, car crash. I was watching that, like, especially my first go-around, I was like, okay, okay.
This is a little goofy at this point.
That's a little much. But you also gotta give some points to the security guard being pied to death.
Yeah. That was also fantastic. And those were actual pies.
It was not subtle that those were real pies. I was like, oh, wow, that's like a lot of pie.
Yeah, they said that was that like the impact of the pies were actually very, very hard. My pick for most outrageous scene, I gotta say Clownzilla. And it's mostly because most of the effects were completely done in camera, which floors me.
That means they had to have made Clownzilla.
Yeah, well, they had made... So, all right, a little explanation for the folks at home. At the very end, there's a ginormous clown, like, it's supposed to be, you know, the size of Godzilla. And they did most of the effects in camera, so it was all forced perspective. It was, you know, miniatures of other people. And that is super duper impressive to me because it just works so well.
I love practical effects like that. Like, specifically, like, stuff where it's, like, the less we have to do in After Effects, the better. Like, that is my favorite kind of movie.
Yeah. I think that's why I appreciated that scene so much. What were some of your favorite quotes?
Favorite quotes? I got a little list for you. There's always a classic for, there's no time to explain. There's clowns going around killing people. And then the Terenzi brothers just kind of make a ha noise in response. They don't even say words. It's just a solid honk noise. I'm like, yeah, that really sets the tone. That sets the tone for what we're doing.
That's an appropriate response.
I also love the scene where the Officer Mooney is like trying to book that one clown, and he kind of puts him in the cell, and the two guys who are in there are just like, what are you in for? Just like so uncomfortable, just like,
I have a fun fact about that line. That was ad-libbed.
Oh, I love that. That makes that so much better. Just, what are you in for? At the sight of a giant, like, 10-foot-tall green clown.
Yes, that is a great line.
You also gotta love the good old, calm down, Dave. We just want to kill ya.
Yeah.
Just as he's being ventriloquist.
That is also great.
Ventriloquized? Close enough.
I gotta throw one out to the always great title drop, the Officer Mooney, killer clowns from outer space. Holy profanity, I'll say.
Holy shirt.
Yeah, holy shucks. And the now famous line when Mike is first in the tent, looks like it was decorated by Clowns R Us.
Looks like it was decorated by Clowns R Us. Oh my god.
This line just kind of stuck out to me because it rang a little too true for the times. Tell everyone to stay inside and don't do anything stupid.
Yeah, watching that, the 2020 mood, watching Killer Clowns from Outer Space, where you go, unfortunate.
And when we return, we'll talk a little bit more about our favorite elements of the movie and also a little bit about where the killer clown stereotype came from. Coming up. Ba-dum-tsh.
Absolutely 100% the mix of practical and special effects that they had in this movie. It feels like so 80s, and I genuinely wish more movies kind of had this like that vibe of every, like, they're there kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah. Even just, like, the aesthetic of, like, clowns and also space aliens, it just looks so interesting, and I really wish more movies had that, because it's so cool looking.
Yeah, I think that is what made this movie so big, because, okay, I love the movie, but honestly, if you just want to get a vibe for it, just listen to the score, or listen to the main theme song, and then, just watch some of the clips from it online, and I think that's really what you need from the movie.
Absolutely. It's so cool.
Or even just going to the Scare Zone at Universal Studios, because that they play the theme song every so often, and they have the clowns just roaming about. But I need to mention this because it's my favorite thing about the Scare Zone. They decided to add the Terenzi brothers. So while you're going around being spooked by clowns, there are just these two guys over at an ice cream truck all like, "Oh, you left the keys in the car. Yeah, this is a rental. What are you doing?"
Dream role, one of the Terenzi brothers.
And it really is. Because I just love the thought of somebody who hasn't actually seen the whole movie or just kind of knows about Killer Clowns in passing, and then them just seeing just these two men just at a car, just like, "Oh, look at the clowns everywhere."
Yeah, just like two dudes just with an ice cream truck, just there casually. Like, they're fine.
Yeah, like a clown will come up and rough them up a bit, but that's about it. Like, other than that, they're fine.
Yeah, they're just like there.
Mm-hmm. And if anything, how would you improve the film?
Really just make Mike less annoying. I don't know why. I thought he was so irritating. I'm like, Mike, be better.
That's totally fair. Yeah, in the commentary, the Chiodo brothers were saying that he was sort of meant to be the dumb blonde in the relationship. And
yeah.
Yeah, you really get that.
You really get that from his performance. He's just kind of like,
Yeah, just like, "You don't have to, Mike." Like, Debbie, Mike, really shut up. Down.
A few times throughout the movie, I just wanted to be like, "Mike, shut up, dude." Nobody asked you, God.
You know, he has the best line. "It looks like it was decorated by Clowns R Us."
I'm like, "All right, Mike, we get it."
Great. Great commentary, Mike. For me, I would, if I were given a chance to redo this movie, I would probably set it in the 80s, or not the 80s, but the 50s, because I really can't see people in the 80s being that receptive to these clowns, especially.
Oh, just I get that.
Yeah, because this, I think it was released 86, and John Wayne Gacy, he was, like, everything came out about him in the, like, 80s, exactly. So I don't think that people of the 80s would be this into clowns and this trusting, especially of other people. And talking about scary killer clowns, you actually have some experience being a clown.
I do.
Which just kind of, like, worked out perfectly. So how was that? How was your clown experience?
Well, back in my clown days, I wasn't really one of the, like, funny clowns. I was really more one of the ones who did, like, the little performances. I was doing, like, just kind of generic clowning in this place in Oakland. And it was honestly super fun. I have, like, some of my stuff left over. I have, like, a set of stilts. I have some of my, I don't have any of my costumes, unfortunately. But it was, I wish I still had my costumes. That'd be so cool. None of them fit anymore. And I'm like, oh, no!
Oh, big sad.
Yeah. But I was usually the ones who would be on stilts or doing handstands and, like, stuff like that.
That's so cool. How old were you?
I was, I want to say around 15. 15, 16?
You were a young clown.
Yeah, I was a little one. That's why they didn't have me, like, talking to people. I wasn't one of the ones who would, like, do stuff, because I was usually... I was really more of one of the background clowns, I guess. Like, one of the ones where you're... That's just, like, there to be looked at and not really so much interacted with.
Yeah.
I did get, like, a little bit of... Not quite training to, like, be one of the interacting clowns, but I never, like, actually got to do that, no matter how much I wanted to. Mm. And I'm like, oh, I want to so bad! And they're like, no, not yet. I'm like, okay, fine.
I want to talk to the people.
Yeah.
Please let me out, Father.
Yeah.
But that's super cool. That's a really awesome experience to have, especially being so young.
Yeah, it gives you the OG clown experience.
Yeah, because I wanted to talk a little bit about the history of dark clowns. So David Keast, the director of the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, claims that clowns have always had a dark side, because that's really where their comedy came from, was it was about their appetite for food, sex, alcohol, and their really unpredictable behavior. The first kind of what we'd associate as being a clown was Joseph Grimaldi, who had just a really horrible life. He had an abusive father, and his wife passed away, leaving him with an alcoholic son. And his performances were so physically demanding that they ultimately left him physically disabled. And he had a joke that he'd say, "I'm grim all day, but I make you laugh at night," which I'm like, good for you for having a good attitude about it, I guess. But still very sad.
Yeah, very sad. Glad you can have a goof about it, bro.
Yeah, good for you, I guess. And he would die drunk and penniless. And the first kind of creepy clown that we see in media is in Charles Dickinson's Pickwick Papers, where he describes the life of a clown. And it was actually based on Grimaldi's son. Sort of the creepiness came from the juxtaposition of his sunny demeanor and just how gaunt and, you know, like, emaciated the guy actually looked. And we'd see killer clown characters in... Oh, I need to talk about this one guy, because it was crazy trying to look him up. His name is Jean-Gaspard Dubois, and he portrayed Piero, who was a French clown, and he had beat a young boy with a stick for insulting him, and that ultimately killed the little boy. And I was trying to look him up, but like the Wikipedia is just like, he did this character and he did it so well. And I was like, because I had heard about the story of him beating the young boy before, and I was like, wait, is this even the same guy? And it's like a sentence on his Wikipedia article, just, he killed a boy. But, you know, the boy had it coming, which I am like, this boy did sound really bad for harassing him. But at the same time, it's a little boy and an adult man.
Yeah, really. It's like, oh yeah, he was such an amazing character and his methods were incredible. Also, we beat a kid. Anyway, like, that's a little, okay.
Yeah, interesting thing to focus on.
Yeah, really.
And, you know, we'd see other killer clowns later, but I'd like to get back to our killer clowns a little bit in a fun little trivia game in our next segment, but first we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and I could have talked more about actual creepy clowns in real life, but I kind of want to end this on a more fun note with some killer questions with a K, or as I like to call it, did Chio know? Which is supposed to be a play on the Chiodo brothers. I had a better pun last week, but they all can't be gold.
You gotta bring on the punishment but anyway. Every once in a while.
But yeah, I really gotta punnel you into submission. So this is just kind of fun trivia that I found out that I thought would be a blast to play a fun little trivia game. So are you ready, Denali?
I am ready. Let's go.
Okay. So, do you remember the actor who was the Big Top Burger employee who was eaten by the baby clowns?
Yes, I do.
So he was a professional stuntman, but how did he prove this to the Chiodos? A. One of the actor's friends kicked him in the unmentionables. When the actor didn't react, the Chiodos were successfully impressed. B. He brought a pair of clown shoes and one knife. The actor then proceeded to juggle all three without harming himself. Or C. The actor had the Chiodos follow him out into the street where the actor's friend hit him with his car. The performer came back without injury and the Chiodos were convinced of his abilities.
As funny as the second one would be, I don't think that's true. That sounds more like a clown audition rather than like a guy who gets munched on.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm gonna...
I mean, he didn't want to impress him.
That would be impressive. I'd be impressed.
Yeah.
I'm gonna guess the first one.
It was the first one.
Yes! Kicked in the nether regions and didn't react. Legend.
I just think that's a fantastic way of proving yourself to anybody. When auditioning for the Terenzi brothers, Peter Lucchesi and Michael Siegel wanted to leave an impression on the Chiodos. What did they do? A. After hearing about the stunt performer who was kicked in the unmentionables and seeing how well that worked out for him, Siegel and Lucchesi kicked each other in the unmentionables. This technique proved to be incredibly painful, and the two finished their audition in the fetal position. B. Lucchesi and Siegel entered the audition room throwing ice cream at the Chiodos. The Chiodos also noticed that the two were wearing tutus under their pants, and they were amused by this. Or C. They planned an elaborate prank on the casting director. During the audition, Siegel would enter the room without Lucchesi and claim he didn't know where he was. They would start the audition, and Lucchesi would burst into the room screaming in pain. In a reference to Ridley Scott's Alien, Lucchesi would then use a clown puppet to burst through his shirt.
Oh my god, that would be so incredible if that was true. I hope that one's true. I hope they're all true. They're all very good. I'm gonna guess chucking ice cream.
You're right again.
Yes! Oh my god. Luck of the draw. Yeah.
True or false, John Vernon, who played Officer Mooney, hated the project and requested to be written out. This resulted in Mooney being killed sooner than he was originally planned to be.
That sounds true. That sounds like an old fart man thing to do when you're on the set of a fun clown movie. Just like, meh, I don't like it. Meh. Yeah, I'd say that's true. That has to be true.
That's false!
What?!
Vernon requested after Mooney's death that the Chiodos write him back in as some sort of zombie clown.
Oh.
And that's why Mooney is my favorite character, because the actor actually super loved being a part of it. He was the one to suggest that the clown shoot him in the face twice with water. And I just love that he was so excited about this project that he was like, "Can I please come back?
He's like, can I do it again?"
Yeah.
The thing you said earlier reminded me so much of, like, this thing from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, where, like, the villain, Denomalos, turns out the guy on set was, like, a total dillweed, and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, this guy sucks. And that immediately reminded me so much of that. I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds like a mean, fart old man thing to say.
Yeah. But, no, it makes me really happy that he was happy being on that set.
That's good. That's much better.
Yeah. In the original cut of the movie, it was explained why Mike has an inflatable boat in his car, but the scene was cut. What was the explanation going to be? A. When Debbie was in the ball, or in the balloon. The scene was planned that she would be suspended at the top of the cocoon room, and Mike would fill the boat with helium and use it to free her. When the boat effect wasn't working, the scene was scrapped. B. The boat was going to be explained in a scene where Mike would recount a story where he took the boat out and was lost at sea. When he was recovered by the Coast Guard, his father attacked the balloon with a knife, and Mike kept the boat in the back of the car. The story slowed down the pace of the movie, so it was cut. Or C, in the original draft, there was a ball pit moat around the circus tent. Dave and Mike would attempt to go through, but find the pit works much like quicksand, and it would be impossible to walk through. The boat was going to be used to cross the moat, but the location they found for the final scene would not allow for the ball pit moat to work.
Oh my god, I really wish it was the ball pit moat. I want to go for ball pit moat just because I want it to be true so bad.
It's B, actually.
No!
But I did like that idea, too.
Ball pit moat's so good.
The reason that they had that story is it happened to the actual Mike Tobacco. So Mike Tobacco and the Terenzi brothers were real-life friends of the Chiodo brothers when they were younger, and they based those characters off of them.
Oh, that's fun.
And follow-up to that, what beverage did the actual Mike Tobacco keep in his glove compartment? A. Sangria, B. Champagne, or C. Jack Daniels?
It was champagne, right?
It was champagne, yes! Yeah. She kept champagne in his glove compartment for dates.
Oh my god, just for dates.
Yeah. Which actor would play a prominent character in this series Baywatch? A. Suzanne Snyder, who played Debbie. B. Dave Allen Nelson, who played Dave. Or C. Grant Kramer, who played Mike.
Oh, shoot. I haven't seen Baywatch. Oh, no. Oh, God.
I was like, this is a real... I really hope you haven't watched Baywatch.
Yeah, I haven't seen Baywatch. No. Okay. I'm gonna guess the guy who played Dave.
That's true!
My brain is so big.
It's so great. It's working great today. So I wanted to include this because this makes me so sad. So David Hasselhoff was intimidated by David Allen Nelson, and he thought that David Allen Nelson would replace him as the sex symbol. So there was kind of this one-sided rivalry on set. And there's this interview with Dave Allen Nelson, and he's talking with the interviewer, and I think the interviewer asked how it's like being a part of the cast, and he's like, yeah, it's fun, but you know, sometimes I come into work and everybody's talking about the party they had last night, and I'm sitting there like, there was a party? I didn't hear about
it. Oh no!
So that just makes me extremely sad.
Secondhand FOMO.
I know. True or false, the Chiodos are eager to make a sequel to the movie at some point.
Oh my god, please be true. Please be true.
It is!
Yes! Oh my god, I would love nothing more. Killer Clowns 2, Electric Boogaloo.
So this was in talks as recent as 2017, and the composer, John Massari, was working on remaking the score with a full symphony. And there are clips of it online. I want to add a little bit in here, like at this point, hopefully it'll be okay. One of their original ideas was to have one of the clown eggs left behind and for the clown to be raised by circus performers. The other clowns would return to Earth, and the human race clown would have to decide where his alliances lie. So that's kind of why I was thinking about the clown husbandry, like, oh, they did raise a clown!
Actual clown raising.
So, thank you so much for Denali for being on. This was a blast. The intro and outro songs were composed by Ditto Master, and you can find his work on YouTube and Spotify. And thank you so much for joining us at the Cinema Cemetery. And if you ever feel the desire to return to the comfort of the velvet darkness, you can always return to us here only on Penguin Radio. Goodbye! Woo!